I am Paige Albiniak, editorial director at Promax, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. Today, I have the honor and the pleasure to once again talk to the guys at Stun, which is now called Known, about their recent merger. And so with me, I have presidents of Known Studios, Mark Feldstein and Brad Roth, and I also have Jacob Harris, who is partner in the science practice, and he's going to explain that to us. So hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Paige.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thanks so much for talking to me.
That didn't sound genuine, Jacob.
It's
true. Hollywood. No one sounds genuine.
It's so Hollywood.
You know how many people interview science people? No one. No one does that.
Science Friday does on NPR.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Okay.
That's true.
We're good.
So it's fine. It's legit. To background this just a little bit, on February 5th, marketing and data strategy firm Shearson Associates announced that it had acquired Stun Creative and Blackbird. I will say that this came as a complete surprise to me. I'm sure other people knew. Blackbird is a branding agency, and all three of those organizations now form an organization called Known, which is a new marketing company, quote unquote, engineered for the unprecedented challenges and opportunities facing marketers today. We're going to talk about some of those challenges and opportunities. The combination of these companies represents significant capabilities and scale with combined 2019 revenues of approximately $100 million. So I'm going to start with Mark. If you could just background me a little bit on how this merger came about, why you did it secretly without telling me, and just kidding. And what was the catalyst of your relationship with Shearson before anyone had thought about making the relationship more permanent?
Yeah, sure. I'll back up for a second and just sort of give you a little context on sort of what we're about. And as you mentioned in that really heartfelt and emotional rendition of the press release that you were
Thank
reading,
you. Mm-hmm.
You know, what Known does is it really formally combines sort of like the creative excellence, if you will, of Stun, the research and science capabilities of Shearson, and the world-class brand strategy of Blackbird. And really, we wanted to create a services company for what marketers need today in 2020 and not 20 years ago. That's sort of like how we like to refer to it. And for us, it's putting data at the center of every single thing that we do. So it's creative work that's informed by analytics as much as art, and it's brand strategy that's driving a marketer's businesses forward. And everything's seamless. That was sort of the key for this. So you have a lot of like holding companies that have, you know, a science company, and they'll have a strategy company, and they'll have creative in their midst. But like they don't work together. I mean, this is a seamless thing. There's no silos here. And that's, you know, it was that idea that really excited us. We had worked alongside Shearson and Blackbird for years individually, you know, servicing even the same client. But it was data science, and it was strategy, and it was creative, three best-in-class companies, but working independently. And we just knew, again, we're friends. We've known each other for a long time. You know, with Ross, we've known him probably close to 20 years. And we realized it would be so much more impactful if we could actually combine these services to serve these clients. We're convinced of this. When all those parts are separate, brands lose. So if we could do this together, we thought this would be the solution that I think the industry just has not found. And that's really sort of what the idea was. So it was that simple to us. And we started going into brands as a single team. Even before the official merger, we would walk into brands and present our collective services as Stun, Blackbird, and Shearson. Instantly in the room, they saw the vision, and they rallied behind sort of our mission. They saw it right away. And we started winning these AOR relationships even when we were just three different companies functioning as one. So that was sort of like we proved our own hypothesis. We're like, we're crazy if we don't do this.
What's an AOR relationship?
Agency of record.
Ah, thank you. Also, and again, probably everyone listening knows this, but I don't, explain to me the difference between what Blackbird does as a brand strategist and what Stun does.
Yeah, Jacob, you want to jump in there?
Yeah, I'll jump in here. You know, Stun for so many years had done fantastic brand work, right? They were already doing really great naming work, brand work, logo work, all the extensions of that creatively for whatever medium. And what Blackbird adds to this, and thinking about strategy more holistically, is thinking about really the brand idea, right? Mm-hmm. That when it comes to branding, this also has to meet business strategy. It's not just about all the stuff that Stun was already doing well. it was how do we think about that in the context of any business's operating system? So if we're helping with a rebrand or renaming or something new, the brand strategy and the intuition that Stun already brought to this was fantastic, but it has to carry through to all marketing communications and partnerships and customer experience and technology and recruiting. And that's really where Blackbird was the strong partner here. I've been at Shearson for, you know, almost a decade. And as we started to work together with Blackbird and Stun, we saw that, you know, you could take bits and pieces of audience research that turned into the right audience insights and combine that with some of the frameworks that Blackbird had mastered surrounding cultural insight work and brand insight work and competitive insight work, so that you could come up with what we call a belief system, where at the core of this, you have this brand idea that needs to be expressed creatively, and you can come up with the whole creative playbook that we can bring to life with studios. But you also need that mission and the positioning statement, the values and the personality that'll carry through to all of the other business work that has to get done.
The science of Shearson, the strategy of Blackbird, and the studio of Stun really come together.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, and those are the three key components and disciplines. And even in our name and the name of Known, you know, very deliberate in terms of our thinking, it's very much based exactly in those three key functions, which is now more than ever, brands need to know who their customer is and very much how to reach them. And that's clearly the science. How do you find not just addressable segments, but the persuadable ones as well. And that's the science component. And then of course, with Blackbird being the strategic, it's really, as Jacob said, it's knowing what your brand stands for, your values, your belief system, and why it matters. Why does your product matter to customers, the client, to customers and the consumer or the viewer? And then, of course, on the studio side, formerly Stun, but now the studio in this sort of three-legged stool, creating an expression of that positioning or what that product represents, and hopefully creating some very compelling campaign that is known or becomes known to the world. And then, of course, we now have the ability to place that in the world through media planning and strategy and ultimately optimization, which is very exciting. So a true end-to-end solution for marketers who need that now more than ever, given the challenges that they're facing.
Can you talk about, I'm going to stay with you, Brad.
Yeah.
Prior to this merger, how did Stun handle the data and analytics piece of things?
I had a calculator.
Well, yeah, Mark had a calculator, and I had an abacus. And
okay.
No, I mean, that's really not too far off. I mean, we're kind of obviously joking around, but really it was in partnership, or it was already baked into the strategy or the brief given to us by our clients. We would typically engage our clients much further downstream, whether they be an entertainment brand or a consumer brand. That was just the nature of how we had built our business, very much creative first, creatively driven, and of course, you know, the production ecosystem that we also built in a very robust way, just this amazing aggregation of multidisciplined creatives. And that's what we would leverage in terms of, you know, bring to bear and when it came to telling a brand story. But that's when we sort of took the baton, and we'd have to certainly, and I think we did really well playing nicely with others, but we did not offer the data science or the strategic the consumer insights as part of the suite of services that Stun would provide. It was only in partnership, or it was already baked in to the brief itself. So the answer really is we weren't doing that. And that's very much what was the driving force behind our decision to create this new modern marketing company Known, because we believe it's absolutely imperative now that an agency have that capability.
So, Mark, I'm sure this was kind of an evolution, but how long ago would you say you started realizing we really need data, analytics, science, and strategy all in the mix?
Mark, you want to?
Oh, man.
I think it sort of came, Mark, when we started diversifying our client portfolio but having a broader base of consumer brands, not just entertainment.
Yeah, it's probably around 5 years ago, we really started getting, you know, heavier into the consumer brand world. That was more of an expectation than at the time was, I think, the case with the entertainment brand clients that we were working with. They all knew it was important, but I think it was much more essential when it came to our clients in the consumer brand world. And starting to see that and really needing to get those, you know, to not only make the smarter decisions and use data to help you make those decisions, but also then being able to, you know, in terms of the analytics afterwards and showing the results and how effective a campaign was. You know, when it comes to entertainment, a lot of times, you know, it's about the numbers, the ratings that you get when a series or special sort of airs, and you know, you want to get those numbers up. And it's sometimes a little more difficult to track specifically to sort of like, you know, how effective was this billboard or something else that's going on. And I think that when it comes to purchasing, there's more tools at your disposal that you can be tracking the effectiveness of a campaign when it came to the consumer brand. So I think
both
they were first at the table.
And measurement, we can just create much more tailored and customized stories for very specific, highly specific audiences or even subsets of an audience. And that way, they're just ultimately a better brand story and better lift because those are more intimate connections you can make with the consumers. And, you know, and the reality is, it's just a great tagline is just, it's just no longer enough.
Also, did the onset of streaming, of TV streaming services, make this more apparent too, because it's direct to consumer and there's a lot more data there available to be analyzed?
For sure. I mean, when you think about kind of the marketing life cycle and how connected everything is, it's often the case for our clients where we're starting at the beginning. It's like it's really about the readiness. How are you going to use the things that are at your fingertips to create the right roadmap and strategy? And then how does it get expressed in the world, right? How do you actually make good on that? And as Brad put it, like, think through really the not just who you already have, the addressable audience, the people you know well. The intuition is usually already there with most marketers. It's really about finding new audiences and growth and persuadable audiences and measuring, hey, can we figure out how to tailor this to broaden our reach or to, you know, deepen our loyalty, depending on the client key performance indicators. So all of those things are kind of part and parcel of our internal process now, where for so many clients, they were hoping there'd be this handoff, or they had an internal research department that did something last year, and oh yeah, we'll use that for the brief. And now it's really like, how do we make these things seamless and iterative, and kind of even the idea of like just having snapshot research and hoping it lasts is going away. Like, you need to be thinking about this and thinking about the flow of data so that you can actually do this well.
Okay, so Jacob, I'm going to come right back to you with follow-up on that. But before that, I want to ask Mark and Brad, along the way of doing this, was it ever frustrating to you to have data maybe not take the lead, but maybe dictate some of the creative? Or has that been something you've been pretty able to adapt to?
It should never take the lead.
You know what? Actually, which is really interesting, I got to say, I'll give you an example of how our new company works and why it's so effective. There was a project that we were working on that we were handling everything. So it's, you know, full service. So it's, you know, starting, it's the all the science, the data segmentation, the strategy that goes into it, and then the creative, and then optimizing afterwards. But what was really exciting is it just starting from the beginning, it's like everyone is on the same bench. So we had our creatives were actually going to the focus groups. They were there, you know, across the country at like, I think, three or four different locations where they were in the room with them, hearing basically being at the heart of the research, what was happening. They're sitting at the tables as the strategy team is taking the segmentation that was created and sort of working in the insights on that. And then, you know, when we are developing the creative, the science team and the strategy teams we're sharing our different rounds with them as well. So it really is this sort of like, it is a seamless process. So data, I don't want to say it leads it, but it inspires
foundation.
Every single thing that we do.
Mm-hmm.
It is
the
foundation.
Yeah. And I think it's exciting on both sides of the culture, both the science side and for the creatives. I mean, if you're going to be bold as saying you're creating a new kind of marketing company, then if, to deliver on that proposition, it really has to be a place where both art and science actually hang out, right? They more than just coexist, they mingle. So what we'd like to say also is that, like, we have literal PhDs sitting with ECDs next to each other, exchanging ideas, hanging out, having drinks, and that's where that energy, that the exchange of ideas and that real-time understanding of how the data and the insights can inform the strategy and the positioning and ultimately the creative expression, that's what is essentially the special sauce. And I think Mark mentioned this earlier on, it's not siloed, it's not bolted on, it's not retrofitted, it literally is everyone in the same milieu, working together. And it's not also compared to the holding company model, where they have a creative agency in the holding company, and they have and their data agency, and then their media agency, and it's all essentially under one holding company. But they're clearly independent, separate entities, you know, often with separate P&Ls. Sometimes they might play nice with each other. They might not. This is truly one company, end to end, working hand in glove, shoulder to shoulder with each other across science and art, which is pretty cool.
One thing I would add is the science, the data, makes us look so much better at our job, because what it's doing is essentially it's allowing us to tell those more personal stories. So when everyone knows you're much more likely to pay attention and to engage when you feel like it's speaking to you. If we can figure out the segmentation, we have that information, we know who we're speaking to, we can tell the right stories, on the right platforms at the right time. And when you can do that and really do that well, your campaigns are so much more impactful and effective. And you see the results. Like, you literally can see it.
And with the infrastructure of this video page, we can also adjust in real time. I mean, close, I think 20 Avid machines and all the creatives and the designers and all that, we can literally make those adjustments almost instantaneously as we're given the information. Again, there's sort of like your big campaign pieces to it, but there's also further down the funnel, there's more performance marketing stuff that we can, at some times be doing 60 micro campaigns, if you will, functioning concurrently and being driven by the machine learning, and then actually being able to, based on results, figure out what's performing better than something else, and then begin to adjust the creative accordingly in real time. So it's a pretty potent combination of forces at work.
Do you find that your creatives like having that roadmap?
Yeah, I think it actually, there's something very liberating about it, because it gives you, sometimes when it's just like anything goes, like that, that can be,
boundaries
that can be
helpful.
It can be amazing, and it can be actually make your job more difficult to have a target out there that sort of get a little bit of those guardrails, but still giving you the creative flexibility. I think that's actually a great situation to be in, because you also want to know, it's so important to always know who you're talking to. When you don't know who you're speaking to, it makes your job more difficult. And this just allows us to make smarter, creative decisions.
I think the only other important thing to add there is that human flexibility. So one of the things I think that's actually working here is that it is human. It's not science led and therefore algorithmic. We're doing this in a way where we actually discuss what's working. We've developed these internal processes that, for whatever reason, have been lost on other companies, or they think they can just get by with, dynamic, algorithmic, dynamic creative. It's like you actually have to have this leap between the science and the art for it to work. And that's where we're spending all of our time and energy, is like, how do we actually make sure that we've got the right culture and environment and tools and people to do that?
Jacob, can you talk a little bit about the Shearson side of the business, how it developed and what its vision is in terms of data marketing?
Sure. So for nearly the same tenure as Stun here, about 18 years prior to the companies coming together. Shearson really specialized in qualitative research, quantitative research, and data science, or as we used to just call it, math. But really, what we did there is think about how we address different parts of the entire marketing life cycle. So all of our research and data science capabilities were focused on that. And that was everything from product or service development, such as, you know, value proposition research or feature prioritization, to the actual product management or service management and marketing. Segmentation, we've mentioned that word a couple times. Who is the audience? What is the best strategic target for this product or service? Pricing and packaging. For some of our big tech clients, we pioneered the ways that pricing have worked and how they think about packaging their SKUs. And then positioning and messaging, as well as then, you know, the tracking and effectiveness. So all the way through this life cycle, that's where Shearson had developed great expertise and kind of pushed the envelope year to year as new data science capabilities were coming out of academic labs. And we said, okay, how can this be applied to business? And how do we service our tech clients, our entertainment clients, in ways that they have never imagined? And of course, as this all evolved and people started to collect data and started to modernize their tech stack and say, oh yeah, we've got tons of consumer data at our fingertips, the question really became, well, how do you use it? You know, how do you actually create the right roadmap to use the things that you're collecting day in and day out and make meaning out of them? Like, how do you actually, because there are no silver bullets just magically in the data. It's really about understanding how you use this information and how you can kind of instrument for that measurement to come to you at the right cadence. So that's been the evolution from Shearson and how we've thought about it, going from what I think you would have called 20 years ago a market research company into really a data science company when we merged with Stun and Blackbird.
So, and also, now this you might be like, no, you're completely off the mark here, but also didn't Shearson do a lot of work on the advanced advertising side of things?
You're totally right there. So almost going back 7 years or so, all of the advanced advertising that was happening kind of in the digital marketplace and in social was not really being applied to linear advertising. How you could think about really robust audience segments and not just age and gender SKUs. My favorite example is, what do Ted Cruz and Jay-Z have in common? They're both males, you know, 18 to 54.
That right? was like nothing. Okay.
Nothing. You know, that was the way TV was sold, and it didn't make any sense because all this fantastic targeting was happening and ad tech was going crazy. VCs were investing all over that, and it really wasn't being applied to the largest stage, to television. Shearson, we're very proud of our work that we did alongside Viacom, now Viacom CBS, to help build Vantage, their advanced advertising capability on linear television. And then using that same framework, think through the consortium that's now OpenAP. So how you port advanced audience segments across different media companies. So that's now NBCU, Viacom CBS, Fox, and Univision, in a way that you could buy really the right audience. You could figure out who's watching what when and when to advertise to them with the right stuff. So we built the back-end ingestion and calculation platform for OpenAP and continue to maintain that with great partnership. That we've also applied here. On the brand side and from an entertainment side, how do you tap into that same framework from the same understanding of audience and data to bring your products and messages to life? So very much, you know, we've spent a long time kind of on the sell side, so to speak, and now we're helping the buy side in more robust ways because of it.
Can you give me, it doesn't have to be a real life example, but is there a way to give me sort of a concrete illustrative example of what that looks like to the consumer?
Hopefully it doesn't look like anything, Right. and I'm being serious there. I think that no one wants to be surprised by their advertising, right? Everyone thinks everyone's listening. Your phones are listening to you. Ideally, actually, the right stuff comes to you. And that over time, we get good at this. And the best brands in the world actually think through how they're going to get opt-in, how you're going to create the right type of loyalty that people will want to share their data and their information and their feelings with you. You know, there's a ton out there between what we put out there on social and what's being tracked every day. But in a real way, you know, the best version of this is something that speaks to you or speaks to me in the way that feels right and feels like is important to that minute of my life when I see something.
Okay. So it's about using data to build a relationship so that your client feels comfortable having this relationship with you.
Yeah. And again, though, not just the data, right? This is where the art and science have to come in.
Yeah. Like
right?
As we were talking about earlier, it's about making a more personalized story so you feel that connection to the brand. Like the brand understands the consumer or the viewer. And that's what this does. This is everything that all this the data that we're able to turn into insights, you know what I mean? And have that sort of that map of where we need to go. And then we can use that to tell a more personalized story, because that's the most powerful story that you can tell to someone.
So going back to your side of things, Mark, in light of all this and what you guys are doing, which I think is sort of the thing that agencies are wrestling with, what do we offer in a world where all of this is combining? How do we sort of stay in this mix? So how do you see agencies' roles? How do you think they are going to operate in the entertainment industry now? You guys kind of know what you're doing. Do you have a broader sense of what the agency-client relationship looks like in light of all this?
In the entertainment space now?
Yeah, in the entertainment space. Or really any of the space, you know. But I just know there's anxiety among agencies.
Sure.
Where do we fit here?
Well,
I just want to see what you think about that.
I think a lot of the concepts that Jacob was speaking to when it comes to consumer brands is also something that we want to be, that we are now able to offer our entertainment brand clients too. So we're providing smart content. So what that means is what we can do as known, which other traditional just sort of creative shops or promo shops that might work with networks cannot do, you know, we can apply the same process to the work that we're doing. So we can really look, you know, we can handle or interpret the data that they have. We can use that for segmentation. We can have that, you know, basically guide our strategy. And then we can create content that's speaking to these people, or multiple versions that are speaking to, you know, to the multiple pockets of persuadables. But we're able to optimize that. What smart creative is being able to optimize the creative that we're delivering to our clients. Mm-hmm. So we can use the same sort of same approach that Jacob was talking about with, say, Vantage or OpenAP, is some of the same ideas that are used to sort of build that, because that's true for TuneIn. You know what I mean? Like it's what it does is it allows us to then place those ads, those entertainment, you know, so the spots or promos, whatever you want to call them, in the place where the right viewer is going to see it. I mean, Jacob, would you want to sort of jump on that?
Yeah,
a little more?
I think that, you know, for others at large, I don't know what they're going to do. And so I know what we're doing is focusing on our clients' needs. And like when you think about how this evolves and just all up, like entertainment all up, we're all competing for attention. And our clients that we've known for the past 2 decades are in the same boat. And so really, as everyone sorts this out, it's just, I really think it's how do we rethink doing business in a way that is so client-centric and also so consumer-focused at the same time that it's just going to work better. From a meta point, I think that that's where we're going, and we're seeing others go that way, and I'm sure the competition will be more interesting and continue to heat up. But like our perspective is that if you don't have a strategy that where you understand broad reach separately from your segments You can understand what creative in what channel and what locations and the economic model for each of those things really robustly. It's going to be hard to compete. It's going to be hard for our clients to compete. So that's what we want to bring to them. And we're really optimistic that there's a bunch of wins. There's a bunch of white space across the board. That's where we're seeing this all going. And, you know, that's what we're doing.
I also think what I find very exciting is that I think that everyone knows the challenges that we're all facing, and I'm saying we, like, you know, from the entertainment industry, mm-hmm. like you know our
the
clients,
the royal we,
the royal we,
the royal,
yeah, the royal we.
Our clients, our entertainment clients, they know, you know, the challenges that they're facing and that all their friends are facing, the ones that Jacob just mentioned. I think the realities have really shifted in the last couple of years. I think people are, whereas they may not previously have been as open and eager as they are now to finding those solutions, I think everyone knows that, like, there are answers out there that people aren't tapping into. And if they can find a partner that understands that and knows how to solve it and has done that in other industries, I think that what I love is that the openness of people to, hey guys, let's figure this out together. That's exciting, because it's not purely about creative. It's about finding solutions and how that impacts creative.
Yeah. And I think on some level, it was just easier to get people's attention before we entered the attention economy. It was just, and now marketers just have to be much more results driven. I mean, especially if you look at entertainment, the business is, we all know, seismically changed. And while, you know, it's still part of our mission to impact culture, that's never going to change, at least on the studio side, and win awards and all those great accolades. At some level, they're no longer significant if it doesn't also turn into measurable results. That's just the reality of where we are today, and that's the anxiety that marketers are feeling. And I think as a result, agencies and everyone who's in the space, and we feel that we've come up with a vision and a model that is the answer for the future. That's why we bet our company on it, and we think it's already, to Mark's point at the outset of this whole conversation, we've already seen the power of it in the rooms before we consummated the deal, and now it's only gaining even more traction that we're one entity as known.
And also, Brad, because I think of Stun very much in the entertainment space, but do you guys, I mean, are you expanding out of entertainment as well? I mean, staying within, but also expanding to other
clients?
Yeah,
no, but it's a great question, Paige, and I'll tell you that shift had happened not quietly in terms of any deliberate or calculated decision. It was just a natural evolution. I'd say within the last probably 5 years, we had begun, we were completely, our concentration was almost completely entertainment for the first 15 years of Stun's existence. And we started to both philosophically believe that we can, you know, certainly for great storytellers for our entertainment clients, why can't that be applied across any brand story? Mm-hmm. So there was just a natural belief, an ardent belief by Mark and I, saying that we should not be limiting ourselves to, you know, to any specific category. And we should, and then from a business perspective, we felt very much that we should be diversifying our client portfolio. What drove us was the idea, for in the storytelling business, that should be applicable across really anyone who's looking to sell their product because they, you know, passionately believe in it. So now that also brands have in a sense become publishers, our kind of approach, not just nimble and from a creative and production kind of expertise, but our storytelling capability across platform has become incredibly attractive to brands because we're so steeped in the entertainment category historically. Right. And now we've been able to bring that skill set and that perspective to them, and it's in it, and they love it. To put it mildly.
Jumping off of that, I mean, what we had done forever with our entertainment brand clients is creating a ton of content across all platforms. So in a single campaign, it wouldn't just have a couple hero spots. It would have a wide range of lengths. It would be on, you know, digital pieces, social pieces, out of home, wherever it might be. Now that consumer brands are really, you know, acting more like entertainment brands and, you know, creating content, and they're publishing content on all different platforms, the fact that we are so nimble, that we are
that we are agile, that we can be creating a lot of content in a quick turn at a very high level of production. That's what they need. And so we've sort of got there. We were there. We've been there since the beginning. So we bring all that experience to it.
If a client came to you and they wanted something smaller, like they said, really, we just need 5 30-second spots. Are you still in that business? Or are you not in that business anymore?
No, we're in the business of storytelling. So it's platform agnostic. It's deliverable agnostic. We have teams that are fully dedicated to just to being the social agency of record for brands, and they literally only create assets, if you will, and across particular social channels, and that's all they do, and they handle all of that for our clients, again, cross-category consumer or entertainment. Other clients, they want a very parsed experience. They just want big, sexy, what we'd call almost traditional commercial that might live on that thing we used to call television. and we still do that very much. It really, and it doesn't have to be an every consumer touch point engagement, although more and more, largely, that's what a lot of our relationships are, but people still do come to us for something more narrow or project-based. But now that we've built this kind of end-to-end multidiscipline solution, there's just a gravitational pull. If you can make one call, have one point of contact for world-class data, strategy, and creative, all working hand in glove with each other, you've just solved a huge problem for people who also in a much more limited bandwidth world that we all live in as well.
Last question. Today is really yesterday's, but recent economic news aside, are you optimistic about the future in terms of the whole industry moving in this direction that you're talking about?
Yeah, very. I mean, just because it just seems so simple. The answer seems so simple to us. I think there's a lot of complicated and specific parts to our solution, but when you put it together, I mean, it just makes so much sense. Having this sort of basically being able to service a brand and be a partner and figure out what is the message, who are you talking to, where do you find them, and how do you tell the best story? And that's all connected. You can't sort of break those apart. You need to be a part of that entire solution, and that's what this is.
I would say, Mark, I echo what you're saying. I think we're hugely bullish on it. I think Mark and I, Jacob will chime in a second, but just Mark and I, who've literally spent a huge part of our lives together over the last two decades, I think we're both true optimists. I think that's what's driven the trajectory of Stun, and I also feel that this coming together of Cheerson and Stun and Blackbird, I feel we're just incredibly fortunate. I mean, it is, I think, by and large part by design, but I feel we also just are very lucky that we have three, in our estimation, best-in-class companies, vibrant, vital companies that were able to come together organically and scale. I mean, we built a company now across six offices, over 250 people large, and with these truly integration of these three disciplines. And I don't think that's going to be easy to replicate if someone else set out to do it. I feel like it's really this great slingshot moment that has shot us out with some great momentum. And I feel we're just going to continue to capitalize on it because there's just a lot of wonderfully talented, smart people. I mean, these scientists, Jacob can speak to it specifically, but they were literally shooting lasers at the moon, and we've recruited them and enlisted their aid to now help us sell product. So that's a very exciting concept. So we're thrilled that we've been able to pull this off. And as I said just a beat earlier, we literally bet our last 20 years of our life and career on it. So we're incredibly bullish. Jacob, what do you think?
Is it true that there were laser moon shooting happening?
There is. And as it turns out, though, it's not that hard to convince someone who's been stationed at the South Pole, who's been trying to get crystals.
Moved to LA. Yeah.
Who's been stationed at the South Pole trying to shoot lasers at the moon to come work and help with amazing new brand projects, right? But really amazing cool marketing work. So it's a little bit of a trick, but we have, I'd say that internally, I'm so optimistic because we're just working with just a special group of various teams that are excited about this. I think it's very rare to have something that can rebrand like this and pivot like this, retain everyone basically. And everyone's excited. Like, people are just thrilled that they've got all of this runway ahead. So, like, internally, I'm so optimistic and so grateful that I get to work with so many smart, you know, fantastic creative people across the board, across creatives and scientists. And then externally, I mean, the response has just been fantastic, right? So coronavirus scares aside, right? Like, it's just the future looks really, really bright, and that we have a lot to offer our longtime clients and, you know, new clients alike. And in general, I'm a pessimistic person, but at the moment, I'm pretty psyched. I think this is going to be great.
We saw a huge challenge out there. We know the industry is in need of repair. It's broken. And we found the smartest, most talented, best people that we could put on a team, and we made a team. And it's sort of like we figured if someone's going to figure it out, this is the group that's going to do it. So that's sort of why we did it. And it's just like right out of the gate, we couldn't be more excited about the results.
Right. What I was going to say is thank you guys for giving me a good answer to not the world's best question, because what are you going to say? No, actually, Paige, we're pessimistic, but thank you for asking. So, but I appreciate all of you guys explaining all of this. I find it kind of complicated, but also fascinating. So I'm excited to see what's going to come out of Known in the next year or two.
Awesome.
Thank you guys all so much
thank
for joining
you.
Me.
Yeah, thanks for having
thanks
us,
so
Paige.
Much, Paige. Really.
Always my pleasure.
This was great. Thank you so much.
Yep, always my pleasure. And we will talk soon. Thank you, guys. Paige Alpiniak is editorial director at Promax. Andres Trujillo, Promax's social media and community manager, edited this podcast. Video helper provides the music. Digital content producer Kayla Marie Hardaway contributes to Daily Brief. Promax is rebranded to just Promax, so you can find us on Promax Global on Facebook and Promax_Global on Twitter and Instagram. You can also always reach out to us at dailybrief@promax.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.